One of them is called Steve Bertrand this morning. Judy is in Hotlanta with her kids and her grand dogs. So Steve is here, and there's a lot to talk about, a lot based on news, and we'll also be discussing showing up in the same outfit as somebody else, whether or not that's an issue.
I hate that. It's awful.
Guys never think about it. I mean, at black tie events, all the guys are in the same outfit.
Right.
Nobody freaks about that. Anyway,
I'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Then.
I want to talk. There's certainly been a lot of attention paid this week to Janet Jackson. I think it's none of our business how old she is and how she's having a baby and whether or not she should have a baby. To me, that's Janet Jackson's business. I would like to talk to those of our girlfriends who had babies at an older age. I think nowadays, my sister Mary could clarify this because she was a labor and delivery nurse. I think any mother older than 35 is considered, the word's not elderly.
Geriatric?
Geriatric.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the
name.
It's
a geriatric pregnancy?
Exactly. My mother had her first child at 36 after having
her
one miscarriage. Her first.
Wow.
And she and my dad were married in their, she was in her mid-30s, and they lost a baby. They miscarried their first baby, and they figured, okay, we're too old to have babies. And then she had one at 36, and then she had four more. And her last baby, my sister Claire, I think was born when my mom was 45. So I know we have girlfriends out there who have had babies. We're not talking early 40s. I'm saying the cutoff is mid-40s and beyond.
Okay.
And whether or not that was a conscious decision, and let's say got pregnant, because I think there are probably some of our girlfriends who got pregnant at 45 or 46 and terminated the pregnancy. I think that happens. I think
they're riskier, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. For both the mother and the baby.
Well,
and,
you know, I have a senior in high school now, so we're going to be sort of empty nesters. So we're actually thinking of having a baby.
Is she aware of that?
She is if she's listening now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, that if you do choose to have a baby when you're that age, you're going to be in your 60s, close to 70s, when your kid is graduating from high school.
Right.
And right now, I'm 70. I can't imagine being, I mean, that's the age of my grandkids. I can't imagine being responsible for a kid.
The good thing is there are a lot of younger parents who really aren't responsible for their kids either.
Evens out. 312-981-7200. If you are the parent, or if you experienced a pregnancy in your mid to late 40s, with the exception of somebody like Janet Jackson, it doesn't seem to me that that's something that most people would aspire to. That most people would start seeing the signs of aging and say, oh, what a good time to have a baby. Let's see if we can't get pregnant. One of our girlfriends on the text line says, pregnancy over 35 is called advanced maternal age.
Right, because geriatric's a word we can't use anymore either.
Apparently, right? So. Yeah. Except
it is.
Yeah, right. 312-981-7200. For those of you who have some experience, maybe your mom was. I mean, my mom was in her late 30s when she had me, and in her mid-40s when she had my...
I have an aunt who's a year younger than me. So...
Oh, gosh.
My grandmother was pregnant when my mom was pregnant. Now, I don't...
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I don't know how old my grandmother was.
How old was your mom?
She was in her early to mid-20s, maybe 23 or 22 or something.
Okay. So your grandma could have been in her 40s.
Right. I think she probably was.
Right. Yeah. 312-981-7200. We're just talking about spinning off the Janet Jackson story about having a baby when you're kind of old. Now, this is Caroline. Hey, Caroline?
Yes.
Hi. You can relate?
Yes. I just had my first child. She was due on April 25th, and I had her on April 2nd.
A few weeks ago.
Exactly.
So you haven't slept for 3 weeks.
You know what? I'm actually sleeping more now than when I was pregnant because you're so uncomfortable in those last couple months that, you know, the sleep I'm getting is more solid now.
Okay.
So I'm getting more sleep now. But
so you're 41. You have an infant.
Correct.
What are the circumstances of that pregnancy? Are you married? Are you single? What was...
I'm I'm married, and we went through IVF, and I got pregnant on my first try at IVF. My pregnancy was so easy and smooth. I didn't have any morning sickness or anything like that. My labor happened so quickly, so smoothly. It was all natural. It took 7 hours, and she's born. She's healthy. And we would like to go another round. And so by the time I do that, I'll be 42.
So do you have the sense that if you're going to go another round, you're going to try, and as long as your body's figured out how to do this, maybe give the second pregnancy a try just the regular way before you go into IVF?
No, because at this stage of the game, I don't want to waste any time, you know?
Okay. Like,
which is why we went through IVF. Because
okay.
You know, we don't want to, it's so taxing on both parties, but, so we'd go IVF again.
Was there a lot of attention paid to your age when you went in for appointments and when you went in to have this baby?
No, there wasn't. There were little tests that you had to do or that they offered, but if you said no, they didn't, you know, urge you to take them. Or if you said yes, then, you know, they would do it. But it was, I didn't feel like there was any extra care or anything like that. The only thing that they did, but this is unrelated to my age, was because she was 3 weeks early, they took her away from me immediately and cared for her instead of making that skin-to-skin
contact right.
and that sort of thing.
Did you have a vaginal or cesarean birth?
Vaginal.
Okay. Regular way.
All natural.
That's a pretty quick turnaround for a month later wanting to have another one. Usually
No kidding. Well, so, she had a seven-hour labor.
Right.
What's not to repeat?
And tomorrow's your first Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Caroline.
Thank you very much. It's very sweet.
Glad you're listening. Thanks. We'll be back to more of your calls and texts at 312-981-7200.
I got to hear me.
Damn. We're talking about having babies a little bit on the late side. If that happened to you, or if you got pregnant and decided, I'm too old to have this baby, I'm not doing it. A lot of texts. My grandma was in her 40s when she had my aunt. She thought she had a tumor for the longest time.
Turns out she did.
So to speak. I will be 64 when my daughter goes to college. I had my fourth child, a surprise of 45. I thought I was perimenopausal. Oops. And this happened to Gail. Hi, Gail.
Hi.
You had a surprise pregnancy at what age?
At 47.
And what did you choose to do?
Oh, I kept her, and she's the joy of the family. She's happy and active and full of love and life, and she's been the greatest thing ever.
How old is she now?
She's 6.
Okay, and you're in your 70s.
I'll be 54 in June.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about when she graduates from high school.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you're are you tired?
You know, I was when I first had her because I had two older kids. I have a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old. So I had the other two to take care of as well as the baby. And the first several months were really, 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 really hard.
I'll bet. Did you think that you were past the point where you could get pregnant so you weren't taking any precautions?
Exactly.
And then when your period stopped, you thought, oh, I'm going into menopause.
Exactly. And I didn't know why I was so tired and sick, and I just couldn't figure it out. And I found out what it was.
Surprise, surprise. All right, glad it's all going well, Gail.
That's
Are you often
great.
Mistaken for her grandmother?
You know, luckily I'm not. I think part of the reason I got pregnant is because I've been really fit my whole life. And I am a lot older than her friends, moms in general, and I'm not very active in her, the PTA and things like that, like I was with my older kids because I'm so much older. But other than that, I'm just a regular mom.
Okay. Well, thanks for checking in, and happy Mother's
Day. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is Dawn. Hi, Dawn. This was no accident that you had a kid at 50.
No. This was a second marriage in my 40s. And on our first date, I said one of the things I had regretted is not having had children. And he stared at me, and then he said, me too. And from then on, it was, we knew that this was going to be something and that we wanted to do. And we married a year and a half later. And 2 years after that, we went to China and picked up our beautiful and smart 27-month-old.
And how old is she now?
She just turned 13 today.
Oh, wow.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, well, she is very excited. And I will be retiring this year from teaching. And I find that having had a child this age, it wasn't as tiring, I mean, as everyone thought. And I know many others who are older parents, and it was, she's the joy of our life.
Well, that's cool. And you don't, go ahead.
I really wanted this. And both my husband and I, strangely enough, were only children. And she too is. And we didn't suffer as only children, and she isn't either. You know, all the stigmas of, oh, you must be very, you're just not the sharing kind, which is untrue.
Right. Well, happy Mother's Day, Dawn.
Well, thank you.
And congratulations.
Every Mother's Day.
Happy birthday to your daughter as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. This is John, who has been very patient. Hi, John.
Hi, this is actually his daughter.
Oh, hi, John's daughter.
He's too old to be on the phone.
What, did he fall asleep?
Well, I tried to give the phone to my mom.
Oh, okay.
She is well, and she does not want to talk. I mean, she would like to, but she gets tongue-tied on the phone. She
so says, your so. Mom had her last my baby mom. At what age?
At 50.
Is it you?
No, it was not me. It was actually my youngest brother. My youngest brother and I are 14 years apart.
Oh, so she had you born. At 36, and
exactly.
Then she got pregnant with your brother at 50.
Couple kids in between. So my younger sister is 22, and then another sister that's 18. And then, you know, she thought she was done after my sister when she had my youngest sister at 43 and thought she was going through menopause. So she, you know, was having all the symptoms of menopause, but also pregnancy symptoms. And I remember I found her pregnancy test in her bathroom and didn't know what to do. And so told my younger sister, and we were like beyond shocked. And she found out that it was obviously positive, and she was going to have my brother, and she was 50 and my dad was 51.
That sounds like the storyline. Was it Parenthood?
Where yeah,
in Parenthood, somebody, they found a pregnancy test, and he assumed it was their daughter.
Right,
and it turned
right,
out it
yeah.
was his wife.
That's right. Yeah.
I
remember watching that episode thinking that too.
Exactly. All right. Well, say hi to John for us.
I will.
Okay. Thanks.
So what have we learned today?
What have we learned, Steve?
You cannot diagnose your own menopause. Right?
Especially when you've put on 30 pounds. When we come back, I would like to talk to a number of you about who you think might be the ideal third party candidate. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but there's a lot of conversation about it. Whether or not Hillary and Donald Trump are the two most unlikable presidential candidates ever.
See, and I would have said Janet Jackson, but she's going to be busy
there
now.
There you go. Exactly. Right. Do you have a sense of who you would much rather vote for than either of those two? 312. And don't say howdy doody. I mean, give real name.
I'd say Peter Greenberg, the travel expert.
He's a fraction of what Peter Greenberg was.
He's standing outside the window.
I know yeah. he is. How much, Peter Greenberg standing out there on Michigan Avenue, how much weight have you taken off? Like a 747's worth?
You can talk,
really?
Peter. We can hear you.
We
okay.
can hear you.
Yeah, there's
yeah.
a mic.
Right, yeah, I lost about 75 pounds.
How?
No meat, very little bread. And living on airplanes, who wants to eat that food?
Are you exercising?
Well, I'm a fireman in New York. I don't know if you know that. I've been a volunteer since I'm 18 years old, so I'm on duty 3 days a week.
I did not know that. Well, you look great.
We're actually out here doing a shoot this morning.
Happy travels to you.
Thanks, guys.
Nice to see you, Peter.
Nice to see
Anytime,
you.
Guys.
Did you see that story in the New York Times this week?
I love when that happens.
I know. About the number of people on The Biggest Loser who have gained all their weight.
Oh, really?
Back,
I'm sure.
And how
yeah.
hard? How hard? Because your metabolism changes when you lose a lot of weight. And it changes to preserve, you know, your body sees or senses you giving it less food. So it slows down your metabolism. And that doesn't change when you get off your diet. And it's really alarming. But he looks fabulous. Oh, my goodness. We were almost on time for the news, Veronica. And then Peter Greenberg showed
up. Well, what are you going to do?
Outside the window.
Trumpet up, trumpet in. Let me begin. I came to win and make America great again. I'm racist. I'm sexist. Opponents reject this. They're highly overrated like political.
Cannot wait.
Quite a week.
I cannot wait to see this show.
Quite a week. What show? Oh, Hamilton.
Hamilton,
oh,
yeah.
Right. When are you going to see it? You actually have tickets?
No.
Oh. I put together a group of about 40 people, and we've been on the waiting list for group sales here in Chicago
for
5 months, something like that.
40 people. You put together a group of 40 people.
Right,
I must have been 41, maybe. Would I have been 41?
Was I 42?
You could be, because if... I think the bigger your group, the happier they are to take care of you.
Okay, sign me up.
Okay. It's, you know, it's my Princeton peeps.
Oh, nice.
Because we did Book of Mormon a couple years ago. So I put the group together again, put the band together again. But we're still on. I called. I said, are we still on the list? They said, we'll let you know when a new block opens up.
Wow.
So anyway. Anyway, so we're talking about politics, not in the sense of call up and say who you like, because there are two candidates who are more universally disliked than two presidential candidates have ever been. And because Donald Trump is getting next to no support from other leaders in the Republican Party for his candidacy. I mean, he'll probably get it, but he's not getting some, but
right. You know, you've got the Bushes saying they're going to stay away. Mitt Romney going to stay away.
Right. Paul Ryan's going to meet next week. Pretty non-committal, right.
Yeah.
So the question is, if this is a time more than any other in history when a third party candidacy could be viable, can you think of somebody who's out there that you would vote for? And it's obviously got to be somebody who's already a Republican or a Democrat. So take that away from the who in the world do you look at and say, oh, I'd vote for them. I know who mine is.
Are you asking me?
Yeah. And our listeners.
I'm not positive I would vote for him, but I think it might have been Michael Bloomberg's time.
Okay.
Because he's socially moderate or liberal.
Right.
To the extent, I mean, which drives some people crazy, right? Because he's the
position.
He's the soda tax guy.
Right.
And all of that in New York. But he's a bit more conservative on fiscal issues and things like that. So he might have been, this might have been his moment.
312-981-7200, I would vote in an instant for Elizabeth Warren. In an instant.
Really?
Yeah. And Kevin has an interesting idea. Kevin?
Hello there.
Hello. Who do you think would be a great third-party candidate?
Condoleezza Rice.
And why do you think she would be great?
I think that people would look at her like she is, you know, amazingly educated. She's well experienced. They all talk about foreign affairs. She's well respected, I think, on both parties in her role in government. And, you know, like I said, she's really well educated as well. So I can't see that there are a lot of negatives if that name was to come up. I know her plan is to ultimately become the president of the NFL, but there's nothing wrong with becoming the president in the interim.
Okay,
well, the whole Iraq war thing
right,
would be a
that's
big negative,
kind of a
I
negative,
think,
but... certainly for liberals.
Well, as far as negative goes, that was not her decision, but it was her role to just manage that very contentious problem.
Okay. All right, so you would happily put an X in the box for Condoleezza Rice.
I most absolutely would, and I just don't think there would be a whole lot of negative that would be brought as her candidacy. You know, a woman, an African American, but you know everything else, all the qualifications and all that stuff. If people are looking for change, they're looking for somebody to come, you know, without a whole lot of baggage, that's what I think would be a great decision.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
We've got late-breaking news.
Interesting choice.
Hillary Clinton has just won the Guam Democratic caucuses. I'm not kidding.
What a shock.
Yeah, so
okay.
Seven
well, we were all waiting for that
there.
News, Steve. Thank you for the update.
Neither candidate traveled to Guam.
Okay, third-party candidate. Who would you happily vote for at this point? And this is sort of along the lines of the Condoleezza Rice. Hi, Nancy.
Yes.
Who would you happily vote for?
My choice would be Colin Powell.
Okay.
And I really don't understand why he has never run for the position to begin with. He's a very knowledgeable man.
That could be the reason.
Yeah, I think he's uncomfortable with the idea.
I think
it's been floated before.
Oh.
That's my understanding, but you would happily vote for him.
I sure would.
Okay. All right, yeah. Nancy, thanks.
Okay.
All right. This is Dorothy with an interesting choice. Dorothy.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I would choose Sheila Simon.
Really?
Yes, I think she's fabulous.
She's very practical.
Okay.
Right?
I know Sheila Simon's in government now. What's her...
She's not.
Oh,
no,
she's not.
She was lieutenant governor for Pat Quinn with a while, and then she ran for another statewide office and lost.
Okay.
So she's available.
There you go.
And
yes.
She could play at her own inaugural event, right? She's in a band.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, yes.
All right, Sheila Simon. Thanks, Dorothy.
Thank you.
312-981-7200. Who would you happily vote for today as a third-party candidate? This is Jim. Hi, Jim.
How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good, good. Say, I don't have names, but like Abraham Lincoln did, he picked a Democrat as his running mate.
And he was a Republican, right?
Yeah, Lincoln was a Republican, and Andrew Johnson was a Democrat, a senator from either Kentucky or Tennessee, I forgot.
Okay, do you
think... go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you think that Trump should choose a Democrat vice president?
No, not necessarily Trump. Anybody. Get two new people. And as I've been listening to you, maybe a Colin Powell... Maybe a Rudy Giuliani, because Colin Powell kind of drifted away from the conservative and went more liberal with his, you know, announcements lately on who he's for and who he's against. Somebody like that.
Can I ask you a question? What is it that you see in Rudy Giuliani? Because the guy fascinates me. I don't know. He was wonderful, fantastic in the months after September 11th. But other than that, I don't understand why people still look to him.
I understand what you're saying, but it's just there's nobody out there, really, I think, that's hard fast that you would just love. I mean, in my mind.
Yeah.
Well,
and
I mean, there are a lot of people who support Donald Trump. There are a lot of people who support Hillary Clinton. That's how they got where they are. There are people that don't much like either one of them.
So Hillary maybe would choose a Republican to make her more likable, and then Trump would have to choose a Republican, too, because he's basically a Democrat.
you're right. But I could see Hillary picking a Republican.
I can't imagine.
I know that. But something's got to be done to make, because Hillary and Trump, like you said, are just not like, I know Democrats that my whole life that don't want to vote for her. And then I know Republicans that voted Republican their whole life that do not like Trump.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a very interesting time politically. Thanks for the call, Jim.
Okay.
All right. 312-981-7200. We're getting texts in. We have I Want Kasich and Sanders on the same ticket. Ellen DeGeneres. Joe Lieberman. Another one says, you're naming people who haven't done anything for 10 years.
Yeah, the Giuliani thing really, it bothers me because I just don't think he, you know, we tend to keep listening to people. And it's like, well, why are we listening to you now? What exactly, you know, you're carrying this mantle around, but how earned is it, or is it still deserved? And I just don't get him.
312-981-7200. Presidential election coming up, in case you haven't been paying attention. And while Donald Trump obviously has enough supporters to get him the candidacy of the Republican Party, and Hillary Clinton has enough supporters to gain probably, apparently, the Democratic nomination, there are plenty of people who don't like either one of them. So the question is, to those of you out there, 312-981-7200, who would you recommend as a third-party candidate? And this is Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hello.
Hi, Tony.
I don't know if this could happen, but there's so many people that doesn't like Hillary and don't like Trump. If Bernie Sanders was to run as an independent, that would break up both parties.
I think historically Bernie Sanders has been an independent, hasn't he?
He's been a socialist. Yeah.
Yeah. He certainly hasn't.
You talk about Trump being new to the Republic. I mean, he's not really new to the Republican Party, but I think Bernie didn't sign up until last year.
Right. Exactly.
That's interesting. Perfect, because they take the votes away from Hillary. They take the votes away from Trump. And actually, an independent would be able to win this time.
I think what's the word for common knowledge? There's another word for it, Steve.
The conventional wisdom.
Conventional wisdom, CW, is that any third party candidate would bring Hillary into the White House. That a third party candidate would take more votes away from Trump than from Hillary.
Not this time, though, because there's so many people that don't like either one of them.
Right, exactly. That's what we're
addressing. Well, right, but I think that probably the conventional wisdom of that is that an independent run would come from someone to the right this time because they don't like Trump. So that's why Trump would be hurt.
Interesting point. Tony, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. And Mike had the same idea, right, Mike?
Yeah, I did, Kathy. How you doing?
Listen, all right.
Yeah, I think Tony's right on. You know, in this country, as I recall, Steve might know better, but I think 40% or better of the people, the voters in this country, call themselves independents. And with the strong showing of Sanders, I mean, this guy, it's unbelievable. By the way, disclosure, I'm a big Bernie fan. But with his strong showing, if he were to launch a third-party independent progressive party, run, he could be elected.
Well,
because
as Tony points out,
he'll take away from Trump and disaffected Republicans, as well as there's a lot of disaffected Democrats out there with Hillary.
Yeah, very interesting thought. Thank you, Mike. Speaking of independents, I heard a report the other day that said when you register, and it's by state, when you register as an independent in California, mm-hmm. which obviously has millions of voters, you automatically become a member of, I believe it's called the American Independent Party.
Oh, really?
So you are not. So when
so you, by declaring yourself independent, they you sign you up to a party.
Exactly. Exactly. I may be wrong on the name of it, but I just thought that was fascinating. And I don't know if that happens in other states or not. This is Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hi there.
Hi, Jim.
Be with you. Hello. Can you hear me?
I can.
I was really great. Well, the thing that gets me about this year's election, and it's been going on all the whole time, is that all these people who are the nominees now or are presented nominees, they all wanted it so bad. And I want anybody that really doesn't want it, whether it's Colin Powell or Elizabeth Warren. You know, George Washington went home to his farm and had to be begged to be the president.
Jim, why would anybody who doesn't want it do it?
Well, it happened in the movie Dave.
Yeah.
It could happen, right?
Some people want it, but it's, you know, or willing. Some people are willing to serve, but I think they need to be. Yes, you have to have the passion for it. But I think some people are humble enough that they want to be asked, or, you know, enough people came behind him and said, listen, we need you. This is a dangerous time in the world, and we need a steady hand, whether you're Elizabeth or Colin.
Jim, can you name somebody who occurs to you that doesn't want it that you would vote for? Jim?
Unless I would, no.
Okay. Okay. All right, Jim, thanks for the call. And this is Jill. Hi, Jill.
Oh, hi. I got someone I would vote for who didn't want it. George Washington. I heard they offered him a kingship, and he said, what were we just fighting for?
Okay, so we're talking about contemporary times.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Paul Ryan.
The same sort of thing. He, you know, said he doesn't want
but
it.
But he says he doesn't. And there's a lot of speculation that that's really what he wants. But he's just waiting for 2020.
Yeah, I think he knows what he's doing. I like that he's got a very calm demeanor. That's one of the things I like about Obama. I like a calm person.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is way too excitable for me, and I'm sort of sick of the Clintons. I'm all Clintoned out. So, yeah, so I would like to see him run. And I want a woman on the vice presidential.
So who would be a good woman for Trump to bring in? Probably not Carly Fiorina.
I don't know. Something to balance his hyperness. Someone calm and I really don't know.
Let's see, who do we know that's in a coma?
Of a woman.
I can't imagine anyone.
Not Sarah Palin. She's way too hyper.
Right.
Not Michelle Bachmann.
Not Michelle Bachmann. Is she still around?
I think
so. Is Michelle Bachmann
still around? No, she retired.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm out of ideas.
Is her husband still her husband?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Jill. Kathy just left you.
Yeah, that's all I can think of, Paul Ryan.
All right, so you're going with Paul Ryan.
Yes.
All right, thanks, Jill.
That's a thing.
Okay. What about Megyn Kelly? Oh, no, that would never work.
Didn't they reach detente?
Well, they had a meeting, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think more than, I mean, anyone who takes vice president is, you know, desperate for power or, you know, whatever. But I think anyone who, I can't wait to see who Donald Trump picks or who agrees to run with Donald Trump.
Exactly.
Because you figure he's going to have to go to the B or C level.
Melania.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're going to have to be so desperate for attention or something to take it.
Well,
I don't know.
The Carly Fiorina choice was so incredible to me that Ted Cruz could think that Carly Fiorina would be a positive. Truly.
Really? Yeah.
And as one of my friends on Facebook said, maybe she was the only one that took his call, because Ted Cruz's unlikability factor is Trump's plus Hillary squared. And to throw in Carly Fiorina, whose likability factor is zero. What, Kristen? Oh, a call. A call has poured in. Hi, Steve.
Oh, yes. There's all kinds of good Republican women who would be vice president. How about the governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley?
Okay,
Martinez. No, Susan Martinez is the Hispanic Republican governor of New Mexico. The list goes on and on.
But here's my thing, Steve. Here's my thing. And Martinez might be a good one because she's second tier. Do you think Nikki Haley?
No, she's a Republican governor, Hispanic. She's first tier.
Okay. I'm not arguing, and I don't mean it in a bad way.
No, I'm not arguing either. I'm just trying to correct you.
Okay, but so Nikki Haley is a national figure now. She's nationally known,
exactly.
Rising star. Do you think she would take it and run with Trump?
Oh, sure she would.
Really?
Sure she would. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Did she endorse him in her state?
No, she
Doesn't matter if she endorsed him.
I think she endorsed Rubio and then Cruz.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's Jeff Sessions. Good senator from Alabama would be fine bringing the
stuff.
There's all kinds. There's millions of them out there.
But Trump's
your next president. You guys have to decide whether or not you're going to stay here or leave. Thanks. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Steve's got to get to Starbucks really quick.
Yes,
I know it's Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
What's the song?
You Wear It Well.
Oh, You Wear It Well.
Yeah.
Not as well as I do, but we're talking about wearing the same outfit.
I have a white denim jacket just like that.
Like mine?
Yeah.
Do you really?
I don't wear it until after Memorial Day.
Oh. Bitch. Okay. This was Judy's idea to promote this this topic, and then she didn't show up today. No, we just forgot that she wasn't going to be here. But Judy has possibly the best wearing the same outfit story that I've ever heard in my whole life, life being the operative word. Judy, in the Jewish tradition, there are not wakes.
Oh,
there aren't wakes. You don't go to wakes. And Judy lost a friend several years back, and she was actually going to her first wake.
And she had to travel, right?
Way the hell. Yeah. I think it was down in Bloomington Normal or something like that. So, and I think Judy asked me, what do people wear? And I remember saying, it's much more casual than it used to be, but Judy, anything that you wear would be fine. So Judy goes to this wake, her first time, walks into the room. There's her friend laid out in the casket up at the other end of the room. And Judy walks, because people seem to be walking up towards the casket. And her dead friend was wearing the same outfit Judy was wearing.
They were very close.
They had on the same suit. And speaking of Judy, my friend Judy Holloway, when she heard about this topic, texted me and she said, when her son got married, obviously you check with the mother of the bride and you just want to make sure there's no duplication.
You do that really? Do you?
Oh, of course you do.
Okay.
Just remember that for the future.
Right.
Or Sharon will know that. Anyway, she got to the wedding and the step-grandmother of the bride, her future daughter-in-law,
was wearing
the
step-grandmother
was wearing the same outfit as the mother of the groom. So 312-981-7200 is the topic. Men don't care because men are always generally wearing the same thing for a dress up, a suit or black tie.
I went out to dinner a few weeks ago and I was at this restaurant and I turn and there's this guy who was much heavier than me, just looked like a real slob. And he was wearing one of my favorite shirts. I'm like, oh.
But you weren't wearing it at the time.
I wasn't wearing it at the time. I almost wore it. I told Sharon, okay. I said, I almost wore that shirt.
Yeah. So 312-981-7200, I wouldn't really care if somebody, unless they looked fabulously better than I did. And now all the celeb magazines do. Who wore it best? They show two celebrities wearing the same dress. And then you're supposed to make some bitchy comment about who wore it best. This is Anna. Hi, Anna. What was your outfit problem?
Well, I remember this when you guys started talking about it, but it was a church fundraiser. We were very involved in the church, very small community, and I bought the dress at Marshall Fields, and it was gorgeous. And not only did my friend have the same dress, she was at our table.
But both of you were surprised.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, everybody was talking about it the whole night. I mean, there was, you know, probably 300 or 400 people there, and everybody was talking about it. And what could you do?
Well, as you one know? Of our texters from 312 area says, I don't see the big deal. I just tell them they have great taste and move on. Yeah, I mean, you can't make
a... She looked better.
Oh, hey,
I don't think she did, Anna.
I think she did. But it was so funny. I'll never forget it. I don't have a great memory, little things like that.
Have you ever worn the dress again?
You know, I did. I wore it to a wedding, and it was one of those dresses that you put it on, and you just felt like you were in a nightgown. It just was so comfortable.
Oh, you didn't have to suck your stomach in. Right. You didn't have to suck your stomach in.
Probably had to wear a girdle because things weren't in those days.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Anna.
Too much information for Steve.
I'm wearing Spanx right now,
right.
Anna.
Steve always does. Thanks,
have a good
Anna.
Day.
It's because I like the feeling of the hug of it all.
Barbara.
Hi. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I am fine. I have a twin sister and from
identical twin.
Identical twin, being newborns, we were always dressed the same.
Okay.
And we started our teaching careers about the same time, and we were going to this family party. I went shopping at one store. She went shopping at another. We showed up in the same dress. Not knowing that we bought it.
Now, that's pretty funny. So
yeah.
Did the people there think you were still dressing alike on purpose?
Yeah.
Because
and
being a lot
of members, a lot they all laughed.
Grown up identical twins do dress the same.
On purpose?
Uh-huh. Oh,
well,
Steve, there's this convention.
This was not on purpose.
Okay.
I mean,
who looked better? Wait a minute. You look the same.
Yeah. We both look pretty good.
Did you have your pictures taken?
You know, I think we did, and I've got the picture in a photo album someplace.
Send it if you find it. Send it to Kristen. Is it K Decker at WGNradio.com?
Yep, K Decker like double decker bus.
DECKER
at WGNradio.com.
We'd love to post it on our page, Barbara.
Okay.
All right. See
I'll
if you can
for it. I hope I can find it.
See if you can find it. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Do identical.
You know, another thing about being identical twins is, you know, we have this kind of vibe between us.
Yes. Unspoken.
And for the the past, unspoken for the past 12 years, unbeknownst to either one of us, we bought each other the same Mother's Day card and birthday card.
Wow.
Wow, that's wild. Uh-huh.
Barbara, are you about the same size as your identical twin?
Yeah.
Does that change? Are they always?
I think that's not uncommon.
Right.
And not purposeful.
No, and actually, the definition of being an identical twin is you share the same embryonic sac. I mean, you can look a little different from your twin sister or twin brother, but it's always the same sex and one sac.
So when I said the same size, you guys both thought dress size. I meant, are there like identical twins who one becomes really heavy and the other one doesn't, or...
That's a good question. I don't think so. I think the inclination to maintain...
You know what? In part of our life that happened to us as little kids, my sister could eat anything. I mean, she would eat dinner, walk into our living room, walk back and say, what's to eat? I looked at food at that time and would gain 5 pounds.
But throughout your life, have you both been pretty much the same size? At one point, though? At one point, it was easier for Barb to gain weight, but her sister could eat anything and not gain weight. But did you maintain about the same size despite that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Barbara, have you ever thought of going to that twin thing? And I think it's Iowa. I think it's in Twinsburg, Iowa. Look it up, Steve.
No.
Twin Fest.
I'll look it up.
Look it up because it's a bunch of adult. Well, there's children there, too. But twins, mm-hmm. and many of them are adults, and many of them to this day dress the same. Check it out.
Okay.
Okay,
I will
Barbara.
Do that.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
We'll be back to more of your calls about wearing the same dress, not necessarily the same face, to an event.
Twin Lakes, Iowa.
I have been blind, lady in red.
I love this. Who sings this?
Simply Red.
Red? Is it?
Yeah, is
that I always thought that was the sexiest song that a guy just...
Krista Bird.
Okay.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Bob Ferguson, not only engineer extraordinaire, but music dude. Bob Ferguson knows his music, as does Kristen Decker back there in the producer's booth. All right, we're talking about wearing something that somebody else wears to an event. And Sue, we think you may be the winner. Sue?
Yes.
What was your situation?
Well, this is, I think, the beginning of the 80s. I'm not quite sure. It was a good friend of mine. Just a second. I'm on the phone!
Who's bothering you, Sue? Is that Mr. Sue?
My husband. He's ready to go to Sam's Club.
He's so needy.
Anyway, let me tell you the story. So this was a real good friend of mine from college. It was her daughter was getting married. And I did not know the groom, but the groom was Vietnamese and a chef. And we were invited to the wedding, and I had a dress I just loved. I don't know if you know Lanz, L-A-N-Z, but it was the prettiest red dress, so I wore it. And all of a sudden, coming up the aisle was the bride with the identical dress. Almost died.
In a red dress for her wedding?
Yeah, because Vietnamese, they wear red.
On their weddings.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Did she give you the stink eye? Did she throw a little shade your way?
I quickly put my coat on.
Oh.
I just remember that and thinking, oh, my God.
I wore the same dress as the bride. Oh, that's a good one.
They made awfully good food, I'll tell you.
All right. Tell your husband you're on the way.
He's on his way to the garage now.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sue.
You.
Okay.
Get those 2-gallon jugs of mixed nuts. I love those at Sam's Club.
But are you a member of Sam's Club?
Not anymore.
Oh.
Costco.
Oh, because somebody told me that when you're a member of one of those clubs where they have food in volume,
mm-hmm.
that you wind up with 2-gallon jars of mayonnaise or a sailboat that you hadn't planned to buy.
We did get a sailboat.
Okay,
yeah.
But not mayonnaise.
I do have about 2 12-packs of cans of black beans in my basement.
Okay. Yeah.
Because then you go and you're like, oh, do I have black beans?
Yeah, I better get some more because it's such a good deal. This is Tess. Hi, Tess.
Hi. My mortification goes back to the late 60s.
Oh, my gosh.
When we used to go to Holiday Ballroom every week for dancing. And I was at my first job and I saved and saved and saved money to get a beautiful dress. I got my dress. It was a mod style, big, bold, black and white striped thing. And I walked in like a princess, and I walked right into another girl that had the same dress. So I sat in the corner the whole night, didn't do the shingaloo, didn't do anything. I thought at $15, the cost of that dress was so high, nobody else could be as rich as me.
Oh, sure, and that's that was in the 60s.
That was in the 60s, right, with my mod dress.
Right, and now you can't get earrings for that.
Now you can't do too much.
There you go. All right, Tess, thanks. This is Rita. This is a business-themed same outfit.
I was at a business convention and entertaining customers, and one of the women who came in with her husband was dressed in the exact same royal purple dress. It was just beautiful. Anyhow, I looked at her, and I said, hey, let's go find a bride and see if we can be in the wedding. She started laughing, and that was fun.
Great response.
Well, all through the night, people would come up to me and say, do you know so-and-so's? I said, oh, yeah.
We're friends.
We're looking for a bride. There. And that was the end of it.
Great story. Great one.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Rita. Sorry.
I love your show.
Oh, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay.
And let's wrap it up with Joy. Hi, Joy.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Joy.
My mortification happened in the 70s, in the dark ages. I went to the prom with my boyfriend, who became my husband, but we went to different schools, and I went to his prom, he went to my prom. So when I got to his prom, lo and behold, this is small towns in Indiana. Lo and behold, some other girl shows up with the dress that I traveled to South Bend to get. It took forever. God. My mother drove me. It was awful. Okay, so we showed up, and as if that's not bad enough, I had to spend the whole night at this small prom around this girl who had the same dress on. But the humiliation continued because at the end of the year, when we were looking through my husband's yearbook, somebody snapped a picture of the two of us around the fake fountain with our identical dresses on.
So saved for history.
Absolutely.
Posterity. Absolutely. Posterity will remember that you and the other girl wore the same dress.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Joy. And I know now that there are stores. I remember hearing this out in Bureau County when I lived in Princeton, that there are stores that sell prom dresses that keep registries. So if you see a dress that it's at what high school are you?
I'm Peaches on the south side of Chicago, Archer Avenue. I got two prom dresses from there. And even though Milford's 2 hours away from Chicago, we had to give what high school we were from to make sure that two girls didn't wear the same dress.
I mean, that's a smart idea. Out in Bureau County, there's 10 little towns, and they would just ask,
but I feel
Spring
like
Valley
if you didn't care if you had the same dress as someone else, and you want that dress, why not be able to get that dress?
If you look good in it.
Would they not sell it to you if someone else from Milford?
I don't know. I don't know if they would sell it.
That's crazy.
Well, they could certainly let you know.
You know what
they could certainly say, did you know that Karen Johnson got that? And you'd go, ew.
Karen Johnson?
This has me thinking of Jeff Zaslow. Remember Jeff?
Sure.
And his last book.
The girls from Ames.
Yeah. Right. That was one of them. Right. But the last book he wrote was about this wedding shop in rural Michigan.
Okay.
That's right.
And
it
was just such a sweet story.
Yeah.
He had daughters. But just thinking of the small towns and the dresses. Maybe
interesting.
Maybe Jeff.
Yeah. Earlier this week, Pete
McMurray. Did you just hoo-hoo?
Yes, I did, formerly of this station, posted that he learned that he had been named for his mother's OBGYN. Now, those of us who have had children and have dealt with an OBGYN during that period of time, many of us have fallen in love with our...
Really? That's a thing?
Total thing. And you could certainly call it 312-981-7200. But apparently Pete McMurray's mother liked her OBGYN enough that she named Pete for the doctor. So I am interested in if you know the story behind who you were named for. I know that there's a tradition in the Jewish tradition that you don't name a child for anybody who is still living.
Correct. I knew that.
That, you know, you can name them for grandma or grandpa or great grandma or grandpa who have passed. But were you named? Was Steve just a name they thought Steve would be good? Let's call this baby Steve.
As far as I know.
Yeah. And as far as I know, in our family, Mary, Kathy, Roberta, Paul, Claire, I don't have a sense that any of us was named for anybody.
Now, my mom was, okay. The story was she was named after one of my grandfather's old girlfriends.
No. Really?
Yeah, yes.
Wow. Well, I know that when I was pregnant with our second child, and then you didn't know until the baby was born what it was.
Right.
This was in the olden days. And we had decided that if it was a boy, his name would be Kevin. And if it was a girl, I wanted to be her to be called Maureen. And I thought, Maureen O'Malley, what a pretty name. And Brian put the kibosh on that because he had once dated a girl named Maureen who turned out to be a high school classmate of mine who had stood him up for a date because she had to show her pigs at the county fair. So he didn't want to be reminded of that constantly by having his daughter named
what,
Maureen.
Him being stood up or her showing pigs at the county fair?
Either.
Right, okay.
It was still a Maureen. So she wound up being Colleen. 312-981-7200. Who were you named for? Or who did you name your kids for, Nancy?
I named my son Andy after Andy Shaw, the reporter.
Why?
You know what? At the time, he was young, and he was seemed really honest and gentle and kind. He didn't age too well. My Andy aged much better.
Well, your son is considerably younger than Andy Shaw, so give him that.
Okay, I'll give him that.
Right, because Andy Shaw, at the time that your kid was born, was probably 35 or 40.
Yes.
Right, so he's got a few years. But
and Andy's still kind. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He is a nice guy.
Yeah.
Isn't he the head of the Better Business Bureau or something?
He was, and now he's
BGA.
Right. But now he's with, is he still with the Better Government Association?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, he's always been in some sort of government,
You know his son-in-law is Chris Hayes from MSNBC?
No.
Did you know that? Yeah.
No. Huh.
Really? I didn't know that either. He just still, even when he's reporting now or he's interviewed, he just seems like a very kind person.
Okay.
Very laid back.
Yeah. Yeah. Was Mr. Nancy fine with naming your son after Andy Shaw?
Oh, he didn't give a crap.
Okay.
He didn't.
And are you still married to him?
let me see. Okay. Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
42 years.
Okay. And not a crossword between you. Okay. Thank you, Nancy. Happy Happy Mother's Day to you and Andy Shaw. This is Ryan. Hey, Ryan.
My brother Brandon was named after one of my dad's favorite drinks, the Brandy Alexander. He was named Brandon Alexander.
Your last name is Alexander.
No, his middle name.
So
his first name is Brandon, middle name is Alexander.
Brandon Alexander, whatever your last name is.
So is he from Wisconsin?
Yes, actually, we are.
That's big, that's like the Wisconsin state drink, isn't it?
Oh, that's so funny.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
The story was, I was named either after a newscaster or a weatherman up here in Wisconsin back in the day. I'm not sure which.
Okay.
I can hear the Wisconsin in you now.
Yeah, me too. All right.
Thanks. Chicago and you guys.
Well, I'm sure you can, yeah.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. This is Justin. Hi, Justin.
Hi. I was named after Justin Kiriakis from Days of Our Lives. And my
is
dad
that an actor or a character?
The character.
Okay.
And then my dad wanted to prove it to a gas station attendant to win a 30-pack of beer, and he was able to. So he got a 30-pack of beer off of my name.
So your mother was a big
my family.
A big Days of Our Lives fan.
Oh, yeah, she is, and she still is.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Justin. I'm sure there's plenty of Justins now that are named after Justin
Timberlake.
Exactly. Yeah. And Steve's kids, who were named about 20 years ago.
Emma and Noah.
Are the most popular names given to babies nowadays.
Kills me.
That's why?
Well, we wanted our kids to have
unusual
somewhat,
names.
Not unusual, but not even original, but unusual. Yeah, you're right.
Right.
And so Noah's got, and it's, I love how, I wanted to learn more about how it happens, because we thought we were picking Noah was a very unusual name.
Right.
There are, he's got, I don't know, four or five kids who are friends of his named Noah.
Oh, is that right?
Right. So
at the same time.
Right. So there must, so they come in and out, there must be
the
like societal, someone said like economic times, like if it's tough, you tend to pick stronger names, that it changes that way.
Okay.
We don't realize it, but
well,
the names shift.
It's certainly biblical.
It's a girl's name, too. It's a Jewish girl's name.
N-O-E, though, right?
Yeah. N-O-A, I think, yeah.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, I know somebody who's got a Jewish daughter named Noah. All right, 312-981-7200. This is Pat. Pat, who was named for who?
Oh,
hi, Pat.
Say hi. Yes, hi, Kathy. Great to hear your voices again on your radio show.
Thanks. Steve's here too.
Whatever.
Hi, Steve. I named my younger son in 1978. He was born Brett, after Brett and Bart Masterson, James Garner show, the Cowboy Show.
So you called him Brett Bart?
No, I wanted to have another son, and I was going to name him Bart.
No, so.
So you named
Brett
him.
Pat, tell me Brett. Again. What was the year?
1978,
okay.
And it was Brett and Bart. It was James Garner's show. It was a cowboy show.
But that show probably was already off the air for 15 years or so, right?
I don't remember what it was, but I remember loving that show and loving James Garner, and I named my son after him.
Brett or Bart?
It was Brett.
Brett.
Good choice, Pat.
Brett McGovern. Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought the Masterson was named Bat. Wasn't
no,
there a
Brett.
Bat Masterson? Why do I have Bat Masterson in
it
my
sounds
head?
Sounds familiar.
James Garner was Brett, and then Bart was the brother, or Bart, B-A-R-T.
Okay. All
I
right.
He had two sons, so
see,
that
now,
was good.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. It's interesting that we're coming up with characters in contemporary entertainment that people are naming. What? Steve just got a face.
Well, Bat Masterson spent the first half of his life in what was remembered as the Wild West.
Okay.
So
he was a real person.
He was
not
a real
TV
person. But let's see. Wouldn't it be interesting if she named her son Brett and it was really Bat? Bat Masterson, TV series, 1958 to 61.
Okay. Who starred in it? James Garner?
This doesn't look like James Garner, no.
Oh, okay.
Gene Barry and Allison Hayes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Gene Barry. All right, 312-981-7200. We're watching your texts, we're taking your calls, and we'll be back after this.
What's your name, little girl?
What's your name? Our previous caller said she named one of her sons Brett because of Brett Masterson, but it was Brett and other listeners have informed Brett and Bart Maverick.
Maverick, right.
One of those was James Garner, and Bat Masterson, Steve looked up, was a show in the late 50s starring Gene Barry. Who was it?
Someone. It was
okay.
Someone named Barry, and he was a real person, too.
Bat Masterson. Right. Yeah. That was on a historical level. This is Ann. Hi, Ann. How did you get your name?
Well, when I was pregnant, I listened to a comedy record about pregnancy, and the wife on the record's name was Janet. Well, when we had the baby and she was a girl, we wanted a really neat name and used Janet, thinking, gee, what a neat name. Well, then I got home. And about a month later, listened to the record again and realized that's where I got that name.
Oh, you thought it came out of nowhere. Yeah. Do you remember who the comic was that did the bit?
No, my daughter's 50.
I was going to say, I was going to guess that she was born in the late or early 60s. I would have been off a bit because that was the Janet time.
Oh, yeah. And Judy and I always laugh that when we go into the home, it's going to be filled with Kathy's and Judy's.
Right.
So, yeah. All right. Thanks, Ann.
Yep.
All right. This is Tony. Hi, Tony. What, Steve?
I'm surrounded by Steve's.
Yes.
Right
oh, are you?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, Tony.
I'm fine. I'm so happy to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I love your show. I'm named after St. Anthony. It was during the early 1940s. And times were very hard. My mom couldn't get a job. My dad had just been sent off to war. And someone had told her about St. Anthony, about finding jobs and finding things. So she prayed to him. And in those days, they used to send telegrams. She received 3 telegrams the same day for 3 different jobs.
Wow.
And she had been looking forever.
Because he's the patron saint of lost causes, right?
Right. Which
lost and found.
Yes. Right.
But now it gets even better. I have a fondness for St. Mother Frances Xavier Cabrini.
Uh-huh. You and didn't name your son Mother Frances Cabrini, did you?
No, I most certainly did not.
Okay.
But I named all of my children after her. My boys' middle names are Frances. My daughter is Cabrina. And she named her third child, Frances, as a middle name after her, because she happens to be a saint that no matter what I ask for, I get an answer and I get my wish, if you would call it a wish. And she's been an important part of my life.
Okay, now, Tony, Kathy's a little more skeptical than I am, but that's a big thing you just said. So every time you pray for something to
Mother Frances Cabrini,
you get it?
I basically do. And
can you give us an example?
Crazy. Parking spots. It happened yesterday. I call her the saint of parking spots. And when you need a parking spot, when the kids were little, we would drive into a parking lot and it would be totally filled. And I would snap my fingers because I was so used to it. And bingo, right in front of the door, someone would back out. We'd get the parking spot. And yesterday we went to my little granddaughter's dance recital in Elgin, and they happen to be having a carnival, the dance recital, and also a prom.
Mm-hmm.
And the parking lot that has several tiers where you drive in and keep going up, totally filled. Mm-hmm. There were no parking spots.
Okay.
So I said to my grandson, well, we have to ask Mother Cabrini. And we drove down one block, and there was a parking lot. Apparently no one knew about public parking, and we could have any parking spot we wanted. Well, while other people were driving around up and down streets, so bingo, she found another spot.
Wow.
She found my husband for me.
She found your husband for you?
He was lost?
Yes, he was. He was looking for me. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. All right, Tony, you seem very fervent in your belief. All right, now, how often do you ask her for stuff?
I talk to her every day.
Oh, okay. I'll so maybe in the next couple days, do you ever ask for anybody else?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so put me on your list, okay? I've been trying to sell my house out in Princeton, and it hasn't sold yet. And I've had several people say, have you buried St. Joseph upside down in the backyard yet? And I said, no, it's not. That's not my thing. So, Tony, let me put it in your hands. When you talk to Mother Frances Cabrini in the next couple days, can you get her?
I will ask her.
Put her on selling my house, okay?
Yes.
Now, so if my house... Go ahead.
I have to say, sometimes she takes a long time. She never fails me, but there have been times I've waited for several years.
Oh, well, see, St. Joseph is going in the backyard before that happens.
Well, say bingo with it, because when you say bingo,
yeah,
it seems to happen.
Yeah, and snap your fingers.
Well, that's for a parking spot, but I have to tell
okay.
You, when I was selling my house, we went to the we had no place to go because we had no family here, and we went to Chicago to the Mother Cabrini Center because we had to go someplace for the open house. So I just knew I would come home and my house would be sold.
Wow, that's
nice.
Well,
of course, it was not. It was not.
Not nice.
So I was angry at her, and for 3 months I waited, and I kept saying, "What's the matter with you? Why are you taking so long? Hurry up, hurry up!" Well, guess when my house sold on November 13th, her feast day. So she does have a sense of humor, and she will let me know in her own way that she will answer my prayer when I want her to, when she wants to.
Wow. But, so whatever it is, have you ever asked her for anything that you didn't get but that you're still waiting for?
Offhand, I can't think of.
Okay.
But I don't ask for stupid things like $1 million.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
But I do ask for good health. My grandson had medical problems that were horrible.
Right.
I have a friend right now that's in the hospital, and she's extremely ill. So this saint is working on her case. And, yeah.
Well,
you're to people.
Your belief is very sweet, Tony.
I got to say, Tony, though, if I were on a run or 10 or 15 of things coming true, I would ask for $1 million.
If it seems to be working. Do you think Mother Frances Cabrini is up there in heaven going, oh, for Pete's sake,
Tony again.
Yes, come on.
Yes, she does.
Come
my
on.
And I laugh about it. And we say that she's so sick and tired of me.
Okay.
That she
said, take care of it, All right, put my house in Princeton on your list.
Oh, I sure will.
Okay,
and
all right.
Let us know on the air because I listen to you all
We
all
sure
the time
will.
Your show.
Tony, thank you very much.
I hope that happens
I
so bad.
You.
our texters. I love our listeners.
Don't do it.
The woman that prays to St. Cabrini for parking spaces and gets really close parking spots, does she also happen to have a handicap parking decal? And another listener texts that at her mother's nursing home, there is a Kathy and Judy, and they share the same room.